Okay, it started.
I thought paprika was cinnamon.
That would make for some horrible cinnamon rolls.
What else? Two eggs.
We're still looking for ingredients. I'm here with BB in the kitchen. And we are once again recording the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club. And we're making oatmeal cookies again, because that's how we roll. Hello, and welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson.
Not in French. I'm Viviana Stimson.
And we're in the kitchen again making cookies.
Yay!
And recording the intro for this club meeting. When was the last club meeting? We're 2 days late.
Not August.
We are in October.
I got it.
Whoo, put it up there.
I got it. Ah, I did it.
So you got all the ingredients together?
Hell yeah.
What do you got?
I got the...
Butter.
Salt. Two different things.
Butter, salt. What else you got?
Butter, salt, oats.
Oats for the because it's gonna be oatmeal.
Flour. Brown sugar, we're almost out of that. Sugar, baking soda, cinnamon, and vanilla.
And vanilla. We're gonna make oatmeal cookies. What do you have to do?
We gotta melt this butter again.
Oh, it does need to soften, doesn't it? Okay, alright, well we're gonna start cooking. This is Scott and BB saying this is the San Carlos Computer Club from October 10th, 2020. Sit back, relax, enjoy, and tech on. All right. That's enough. Okay. That'll work.
The air conditioning's coming back on and the raccoons are coming back on.
Raccoons!
I think you're about to hit her with a hammer.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Or I wouldn't try and squeeze it back together either.
Actually, Scott, I was quite proud of myself. Yesterday, I got curious. I had my one laptop here had the keyboard is screwed on it, so I'm using a remote one like a Bluetooth.
Yeah.
I was looking on Amazon, and they're like $14 for a new one delivered. And then I figured, well, how do you change that? You go on YouTube and there's the instructions for that specific laptop and it just pops out of there. Literally, you just pry it out.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what model you're working with, but yeah.
And
I love
Acer Atom.
I love YouTube for that because that's where I get most of my breakdown instructions. Actually, YouTube's really good for teaching you what not to do. I've watched some people go at some stuff with the wrong tools. I'm like, well, I'm not doing that.
No. The end result's a little different. Anyway, the other thought I had is you were talking about the book you and your daughter's reading. Is it 11?
Yes, Station 11.
Station 11. So I pulled that sucker up and downloaded it and read it in about 3 days when we were camping. So I got all the way through it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I think it should be a movie. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's been optioned for a while now, and they've got a cast assembled. I think it's HBO that has it. I think they're shooting for a movie miniseries.
Yeah, that would work. A miniseries would work on me. But it's a pretty good book. I liked it.
What's it called again?
Station 11. We were talking about it last week.
I think Judy was gone when you did that.
Yep.
When we were doing recommendations. Well, I put links to it on last week's meeting. I hope people are finding that. Bill, I hope you're finding that stuff.
We found it.
All right.
Lost it and found it again.
It's an awesome book. I really fell in love with it. I had to hand it off to my daughter afterwards because I knew she would devour it. Unfortunately, she's been stuck with school stuff and library books she's trying to finish before they become due. So she hasn't finished the book yet. I don't want to spoil it for her, but I really want to have a discussion with her about it. I hope Bill found it as interesting as I that we are reading it at this time period. It was
exactly.
Written. Yeah, it was written back in 2014, but it really is a story of 20 years after a virus outbreak that basically shuts down everything. and the years, days, up to minutes before the start of this crisis. And so you're in two different stories. You're in a story that nobody has any idea what's about to happen. And then the story 20 years after it happened and how people were affected and their own dramas. And I liked how it just talked to us plainly. It didn't use a lot of jargon, tech jargon. It was really almost told to us from the perspective of being in that situation. You wouldn't have heavy details. You wouldn't have large, explicit language. I mean, it would just talk to you like a normal person. I don't know, Bill, how did you feel? Did you...
You're right. There's no real. It's not really a science fiction in that sense. It doesn't use a lot of technology in it.
That's right.
It's actually the lack of technology that is appealing about the whole thing. But it's apocalyptic. But
it's almost a boring apocalypse.
Yes.
Yeah.
The thing that struck me maybe the most of anything is every time I watch one of those, you know, future apocalypse movies or whatever, they're always running around with modified, Mad Max cars and vehicles.
Right.
I always wondered, how the hell do they get the gas out of the tanks and in the service stations when there's no electricity to pump the damn stuff up? These guys stated that very, very true that the gas goes stale after about 3 years. It's unusable.
Go ahead, Judy. What do you got going?
Emily Mandel.
Yes. Yes. Emily St. John Mandel.
Okay.
I had a nice interaction. I'm on Instagram, and one of the Instagram activities I'll do from time to time when I'll finish a book is I'll take a picture of it and I'll write a little, a nerdy book review on it. And I'll tag the author if they're available somewhere, like on Twitter or on Instagram. And so I did that with this. And it's the first author to acknowledge that I had written anything about their book and say a thank you to me. So I thought that was kind of cool. Hey, guys.
Morning, Jimmy.
We're just getting started here. You're right on time. It's 9 o'clock, and this is the San Carlos Computer Club. And I'm Scott Stimson, but you all know me. And in typical fashion, we're unorganized, and we've started out in the middle before you guys even joined us, talking about books and anything else that might be recommended. How is everybody this morning?
Good.
Very well, very well.
You guys are all...
I have a question. The last week, I have gotten two notifications from Yahoo about my Yahoo accounts that the security is out of date and that I have to go back out and follow these steps and redo it. Is that legit?
No.
Wow, I would...
I don't think so.
I tend to think that as well. I've got an echo coming back at me, and I realized that I am not ready for this meeting because I don't have my headsets on. I'm just listening to speakers in the background, and I had music still running, which I just turned off.
I suggest you go change your password.
Okay, so it came from Yahoo when I checked back to the address, and the reminder is that the attention is due before October 20th.
Don't believe that.
Is there anybody using Yahoo Mail right now? I actually just reset up a Yahoo email account.
Yes, my husband has Yahoo email, and we haven't gotten that notice. I would go in and change your password.
So okay. I've recently gotten, I'm looking through my Yahoo Mail right now, and I've got one that says, "Hey, Yahoo member, us again, just remind you that your mail account needs attention before the 20th of October."
Yep, that's exactly what I'm looking at, Scott.
Okay, so I'm looking at it in Microsoft Mail, and what I do to verify that this is a legitimate or not a legitimate email is I hover over the links that are in it, and in Microsoft Mail, it will show me the links, and so I can read the actual addresses, and everything in this email is referencing yahoo.net, which throws me a little off guard because I always think of it as yahoo.com, but maybe it's yahoo.net. I'm just going
to
see.
Why don't you just log in at yahoo.com and go to your mail that way and see?
And that's a recommendation that this makes. The mm-hmm. third paragraph says option three, we recommend that you access your account by using the Yahoo Mail app for iOS or Android simply go to, exactly as you say, mail.yahoo.com to access your account on the web. And then it proceeds to tell you what to do after that.
Yep. That's all Does good. That's a great way to deal with it. Actually, if it's from Yahoo in Yahoo Mail and it's not, and it's a fraud, hopefully Yahoo Mail is blocking you from doing things with. I would sign into my. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kathleen. Say again.
So no matter what link that it underlines, I go to, and it comes up to a legitimate Yahoo address, and it's yahoo.com. But it just is strange that.
I would never click on that.
Yeah,
link.
I wouldn't be in the habit of using the email itself either. I would do just like Judy suggested. And if I thought it was legitimate, I would still go to yahoo.com, sign into my Yahoo account, and follow the instructions in that way. I would. I mean, there's some real differences because this is 2020. In the past, we used to say never click on links, but really, and if you're trying to get into your bank and you're expecting that email to come in, then of course you would be clicking on that bank. I've had a number of times now where Amazon has increased their security and they won't let me log in. I've flushed my browser of all my cookies, and it won't let me log in unless I get an authentication link. And it sends that to my phone, and I have to click on a link to get authenticated. And so, I mean, we just can't – that general rule of never clicking on links that are sent to you is really hard to follow in this day and age.
Actually, Scott, it isn't. That was an unsolicited email.
And that's the reason I agree with you. I think you should go into your email and deal with it. But at the same time, I can't just blanket say don't click on links in your email, because there are times when you're waiting for links to show up.
Right.
If that makes sense. Yeah. But I agree with you, Judy. Totally go to your email and deal with it. Or go to your sign-in and deal with it. Go, if you got an unsolicited, maybe my bank example is not a good one, because if you got an unsolicited bank email saying you ought to go change your password, here's a link, absolutely, that's the chances of that being fraudulent is so high, I would never deal with it that way. I would always go to the bank and deal with it manually.
I have the same situation with PayPal. And I'm frequently getting emails from PayPal. I never click on the link. I may go into my account directly, but I won't click on their link.
Yes. And actually, bringing up PayPal, bringing up banks, Amazon, we're going to be hitting a holiday season. And so these kinds of fraudulent emails are going to be rampant. It's a surreal experience, because you will be shopping on a site and pretty soon you'll get hit with emails from that site. And you'll feel like they're related, and you'll have to remind yourself, these are not related to what I'm doing. Just because I use Amazon to buy a half a dozen packages over the last week doesn't mean this email that looks suspicious has anything to do with Amazon. More than likely trying to take advantage of me, and it knows I'm shopping right now because it is the holiday season. And so the emails are going to come in, and they're going to talk about purchases you've already done, but in loose terms, not in this is what you bought, but your something like the last three items you purchased are not finding an address, or we need more verification for the last purchase you made. And it'll be that kind of social engineering language where you feel like they're talking specifically about something you've done, whereas they've worked really hard to make sure it sounds that way. I see Jim just busting up. What's going on with you, Jim? You're on mute, so we can't hear anything. You're still on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're out in the boonies.
Okay.
And Linda's fixing breakfast, and I'm peeling apples. She showed me a more effective way to do that.
Oh, you're getting taught. Yeah, she's schooling you on cooking.
Yeah. Can you imagine? At my age. Oh, well. You know, you can teach an old dog a new trick.
What are you guys having for breakfast?
We're
apples.
We're in Queens. You don't even know.
She doesn't know. She's making it up as we're going along.
We're at a wildlife refuge in southeastern Colorado.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Jim doesn't know where we are.
Yes, I did. He hadn't asked that question.
Where are you? Don't be eating the wildlife, Jimmy.
Say what?
No. Don't eat the wildlife.
We're headed down to, we're actually on our way to Mexico, but we're going slowly and
seeing
stuff.
Taking your time.
We should cross the border on the 17th. Oh, no, the 18th. 17th.
Me too.
Oh, awesome.
Good. Judy, we'll see you there.
Yep. I'm spending the night in Nogales the night of the 16th, so I'll be bright and early across the border.
Yes, indeed. Make it easy. Oh, me. Anybody, how many people we're going to have down there with all our Canadian friends stuck up up north? It's going to seem like a strange season.
Loma del Mar is getting quite a few people coming back.
Well, that's good.
Good. San Carlos is overrun by Mexicans.
Yeah, we've got a lot of traffic going on in the town right now.
Oh, I was going to say, we're in Mexico, and there are a lot of Mexicans. Go figure.
Well, you wouldn't believe it. We went out Friday night. There was so much traffic. Don't go to the grocery stores on the weekend.
Well, that's
we went down to Hammerhead, and there were no Americans in there. It was loaded with Mexicans.
Yeah, good morning from a Yankee.
What about the virus
morning,
situation
Stanley.
Today? What does it look like?
Say that again, Jim.
What about the virus situation today? What is it looking like?
Oh, I haven't looked at it recently. We've got the same restrictions in place, except I think that I thought I heard that they have the capacity of things like restaurants and bars up to 75% typical.
Ooh,
I think that I think that, don't quote me on that. I just feel like I heard that recently.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think wear your mask though.
But wear your mask. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Linda.
We went out.
We're still appropriately paranoid.
Well, in Colorado, in mandatory November or something now. So.
Oh yeah, my son works at the university, and the caseload there has been really ugly.
Yeah, Manitou School just had a huge infestation of COVID for football team.
Hey, Judy, you're cutting in and out for me. Is other people having that experience?
Me too, yes.
Well, I don't have a clue.
Now you're coming in clearer.
It sounded like a clue. You're better.
Oh, maybe I had a pillow over the speaker.
Oh, that might do it.
It probably did it. Sorry.
We are those Canadians that will not be coming unless things change. So we're kind of hoping for January now. I don't know. we're still hoping. We have to have the border open, and we have to be able to get insurance. So making a little bit of headway with that, it's going to cost us a lot of money, and we have to look at the risk and everything. But our city of Edmonton, the capital city of our province, Alberta, has an outbreak right now, and they have made it. They put on some more voluntary actions. So they're asking people to stay home and keep their groups no more than 15. They're asking businesses to only do takeout, not sit in, dine in. But everybody just is avoiding that. And we've been too lax, and it's a scary time. We have over 1,000 cases, which is not good for our province. We're the third highest across Canada in population and in cases. So we're there.
Cheryl, are you guys still seeing about a 3% mortality rate?
I'm not sure what it is. Bill, do you know?
I don't think we're quite that high. It depends on what group. If you look at the overall average, it's still below 1%. But you look in the, you know, the high-risk group, it's higher than that. It gets up high at 6%, 7% if you're, you know, over 80, you know, compromised. So, yeah, it averages down. But our main cases are all coming from the 25 to 35 age group, all of the bar hoppers. They won't stay home.
Right. That seems to be what we've got here in Mexico, too.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any large outbreaks recently. And the last numbers I saw for Guaymas San Carlos were 2 people, which I was happy because I saw that a few weeks ago and then immediately saw 35 people, 100 people, 32 people. And so just within the last week, I've seen 2 people, and I thought that was good.
I know somebody who got diagnosed yesterday here.
Yeah, here in San Carlos.
I don't know who it is.
That's okay. We won't out anybody. It's just important not to let up your guard because it just takes one person in a group. I mean, I'm not going inside to celebrate anything. I'm sorry.
Today is supposed to be our Thanksgiving dinner with our family, and we would have had 5 of them and 2 of us. But as it is, 2 of us will be eating a turkey dinner this evening, 12-pound turkey for 2.
So. We've got a whole line of things coming up in our world, and they're all planned for outside. It's
getting too cold to go outside.
Yeah.
Afraid.
You have the opposite experience of us. I can finally go outside. I can turn off an air conditioner finally.
We went camping for 2 nights, and we had our friends come and join us for supper at the campfire. They sat on their side of the picnic table. We were on ours, but we ate outside, and I was wearing, no word of lie here, I had 4 tops on, long johns underneath my sweatpants and socks, and I hate socks. So that's how we were visiting outside.
Scott,
question.
All right, I feel so popular all of a sudden. Judy, go ahead, and then Paul.
Mine was, so the weather has broken and it's cooling down.
Okay.
Is that a question?
That's a question for me? Yes, but in typical San Carlos style, now I can get up in the morning and feel like I need to put a shirt on. Because it's not going to be drenched in sweat as I wander around the outside of my house. It's going to be very nice and cool. I sit up on the roof and I start my day with reading for a half hour before it gets too hot. But we still have hit 95 degrees in the middle of the afternoon. So it might be 70, 73, 74 in the morning, but it's 95 by 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's 39 here in the morning, and it gets up to 85.
Well, 1 o'clock in the afternoon is nap time anyway.
That's right.
That's right. Paul, what were you going to ask or contribute?
I was going to ask, if you're eating at JJ's, is that inside or outside?
At JJ's, that's a good question, isn't it? I think I'd wear a mask. The only place I've gone out to was Lisa and Frank's new place, that taco place in front of Santa Bella. Bella. I think that's how you say it.
Bella.
And that's completely outside.
What
I say?
Volley.
No, I didn't say Vali. I said Baye. Baye. I said Baye.
Is that new restaurant strictly taco kind of place? What is it?
It's like gourmet tacos. They've got a variety of different style tacos in there. And it's all open air. And so there isn't any place for virus particles to condense.
Good to know.
But I think it's the only out thing that we've done so far. Oh, I guess Yuya went to Calabri the other day. I told Yuya the other day, it's like, I'll go to a place like... For me, these outdoor places don't make me nervous. It's just being so hot, I don't want to be outdoors. And so now the weather's changed, I'm happy to be there.
this says on this thing here, I want to show you.
Who's talking? Hello? Is that to us?
If your DreamLink under the STV blocked error may be caused by pending software update on your STV, please go home settings.
I think Linda must be helping somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Scott, I see that Mark Mulligan is having Welcome Back to San Carlos.
That's on the 17th when you guys are arriving.
All right.
I'm not going.
Yeah. I don't assume Jim and Linda are going either.
What? No, we're not.
Where is it? Is it an outdoor venue?
La Palapa.
Is La Palapa Grega outside or inside?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, as long as it's social distanced and like the, I don't know. The show up in masks and make sure you can stay 6 feet apart from people and look for opportunities not to share air with people. It seems this is the world we live in now until we start feeling comfortable with a vaccine. Until we can treat it like we treat the flu, it seems like those are the best rules to follow. I think I would. I'm at a mode where I would leave a venue if I couldn't social distance.
Yeah.
But I would probably show up to see if we could do it, and if it just wasn't possible, I'd leave.
Yeah. A friend of mine was just diagnosed with it, and he never goes anywhere, literally. And the only thing I can assume is that his partner brought it home.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. Because the
partner doesn't have it.
The CDC just changed their wording to try and be more specific because the air thing has become such a controversial topic. Their wording is saying that it's close contact. I suspect that it's close contact with air. I mean, because you're getting close. But they're reemphasizing that picking it up from touching something.
Oh, really?
I've got something interesting to add.
It hangs in the air.
Hello?
Stanley, go ahead. What do you got to contribute? We're just going at it.
I heard something interesting this morning.
Okay.
First of all, one of the things that they use for the therapy is what's called Regeneron, which is like antibodies. Now, you get the antibodies from either people that donated or it's artificially made in Iraq.
Oh, that's interesting.
No, I'm not. And it's supposed to be, you know, like the artificial antibodies is pretty potent. It's you know, it's pretty good.
Well, that's the one they gave the president, right?
Right.
Yes.
I mean, like we can't help but know that because he announced it a number of times.
I also heard that he had original stock in the company. And I heard that it was made from fetal stem cells.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Oh.
So.
Which actually doesn't, I mean, I'm sorry, that doesn't actually bother me. I just find it surprising.
For me, it should bother all the, never mind, but it should bother those people.
No, because don't those fetal stem cells come from the afterbirth?
I don't know.
I don't think that the baby has to die in order to get the stem cells.
I'm
pretty sure of that because I read up on that as a treatment for my husband's COPD a couple of years ago.
Hmm. Yeah, truthfully, the only I was reading it because of Judy's point that they were making this point. And so that's the only reason I would think of it.
That's why it was very interesting for me. So I'll have to look to see where fetal stem cells come from. So maybe that was a not a fair statement.
Well, oh, I see my father has joined. Hey, Pop. We're just going at topics right now. We've been talking about COVID and how it's affecting our areas here. Climate, temperature. We started with the recommendation for the book that I was recommending last week. And actually, did anybody else want to chime in with any recommendations? I know that we are agendaless, but I do like to keep us on the rails if I can. Is there anything that people would like to make sure that we know about? TV shows, movies, recommendations for readings or audiobooks?
I want to know how far into Breaking Bad Chester is.
Chester, are you still on?
I'm still on, and I just started season 5.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, all right. Well, you've been through a lot of crazy stuff then.
And it doesn't get any better or any less crazy. I just finished Hell on Wheels. I really enjoyed that.
And started
Yellowstone, and I'm enjoying that.
Are you getting current Yellowstone? I can't find current.
No, I paid for it.
Oh.
If I were in Mexico, I could watch it on Streamio, but I'm still in Tucson, so I went ahead and paid for it. Got a good price, $7.
Yeah, Maggie, you know you can use Streamio anywhere.
Well, I can't find how to put it on the internet on the smart TV up here. I've tried, I've looked, and because we're renting, I don't want to mess with it.
Oh, okay.
Roku.
Well, Roku doesn't have a Streamio app, does it? I don't think it does.
Roku has nothing. We actually have been watching some Roku channels, and we watched the debate on our Roku, but I finished my two series that I was watching, The Good Fight, and it went really strange in season number 4. And the other one was, what was the other one? Oh, I'm watching it because it comes out every week. And it's the one about Why Women Kill.
Why Women Kill? Yeah, we were talking about that before. I still haven't had a chance to look at that. Is that a documentary type style show? No. It's a drama.
It's actually, the premise is this mansion, and it takes place in 3 different time zones of when people were living in the house. And there's something to do with relationships and usually wives that do the killing.
Hence the title.
I have a suggestion for Maggie. If she likes Hell on Wheels, she should try looking up Justified. If only for the theme song at the beginning, it's worth it just to listen to that. But you have to Google the lyrics to figure out what he's saying.
Well, Bill, I have watched it twice. Twice I watched it.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch that show. That's been recommended to me a number of times, and I still haven't watched it.
You should watch it. Oh, man. It's a good one. It's a really good one.
Is it better than Hell on Wheels?
If you do watch it, you're going to have an earworm of that damn theme song in your head for the rest of the day. It's already back to me just thinking about it.
I don't think I can compare it to Yellowstone, and it's totally different. Totally different. I don't know how to explain it, but just watch them all.
It's probably a closer approximation of Yellowstone than Hell on Wheels, just because of the time period.
Time period. Another good one is Sons of Anarchy. Has anybody watched that?
Yes, no.
I could never get into that. I had friends that just thought it was amazing, and every time I tried to watch it, I just like, this isn't what I like.
Well, you can't watch it then.
You like a good comedy?
Well, I had the same experience with...
Hey, Pop, Sunday you're looking night. Good.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. You had the same experience?
Share with you something that your mother and I came across recently that kind of surprised us. I was just kind of looking for a new TV series, and I came across the Apple show Home Before Dark. And so it kind of intrigued me. And I started watching it, and I got about halfway through the first show, and I thought, well, maybe this is more for kids, because it was about a 9-year-old girl that saw herself as a reporter, and she started they moved to a new town, and she started creating her little newspaper, and it turns out it's all based on fact, and that she stumbled across a story about a fellow who was in prison and shouldn't have been. And boy, she pursued that story until she had everybody in the community believing her, but it took the entire series, and we were just amazed at how much we enjoyed it. We just thought it was going to be a kid's show, but it was just a tremendous little movie. Good family show, good TV series, I should say.
Oh, Dad, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've seen the commercials for it, and I thought what you started out with, I thought it would be, I mean, maybe my daughter would be interested in watching, maybe it'd be something we could watch together, but it never occurred to me it would be something I'd want to watch.
What was it again?
Home Before Dark.
Home Before Dark. Okay.
That's on Apple.
Yeah, now I'll have to take a look at it. Or on Streamio, depending on how you do things.
The other thing is Amazon Prime Day is coming up, and since we're Amazon Prime members, but we're not sure. Like, Scott, a long time ago, the Friday, what did they call them, Black Friday sales, you told us that things that were sold on Black Friday were created for Black Friday sales, and that the warranties and things were different. What's Prime Days? Is it something that I should be concerned about?
Okay, so there's some generalization in there that I just want to make very clear. When we've talked about those things in the past, it's been big ticket items like TV sets, like appliances that have been created specifically so that they could be sold at a discounted price, and they're typically sold missing some features. They've been able to pull some board out of it or something. It's exactly identical to the next model they're going to sell for $100 more, but they've pulled something out of it. And so I think you have to be concerned of that kind of thinking in any of these holiday shopping. These are real American things, holiday shopping experiences. Yeah, I think you should. I couldn't tell you specifically what to be concerned about, but I think that if there was something specific I wanted to go after, I would want to know what I was looking at. And so that requires just research. You know, when you're looking at it on Prime, you can take that model number, stick it into a Google search, and see if it's been around for a while. One of the easiest things I've seen is I stick a model number into a basic Google search. Are there any reviews? Like, do any stars pop up? If there isn't a star, if there isn't a half a star or five stars, that means nobody's reviewed it. And if nobody's reviewed it, that makes it a little suspicious to begin with. I mean, how new is this product? You run into this with laptops all the time. This laptop just came out yesterday. Nobody knew it was going to hit the market. And now it's available at Walmart. You have no idea whether it's a great product or not. Maybe it's not the thing that you want to buy 50% off. And just use your best judgment is what I can say. It's like our capitalism has become predatorial. They are looking for opportunities to take your money like always, but it's become dialed in like a science. So there will be things that are being sold that wouldn't be sold at any other time because they know you're out there looking to buy on these holiday shopping periods.
And is that kind of what Amazon Prime Days are, or is it just?
Well, I think with the marketing that goes into that thinking, they're trying to cultivate their marketplace. They're people that go to their marketplace. They're making you aware we're going to be selling things at discounts on this specific date. It's similar to a Black Friday. It's similar to a Cyber Monday. They're periods in time that they've set us all up for to be ready to go shopping. Mm. I'm really curious what's going to happen with Black Friday in the States. I've seen articles where retailers are making this pledge not to have something this year so that they're not encouraging crowds. But that seems to go...
Black Friday with social distancing, Scott. That's a concept.
Is that even possible? It seems like it would be a... I don't know. I'm not a good capitalist, I don't think. It seems like if I was Walmart, I would want to make a point. We're not going to try and social distance you, and we're not going to expect you to be showing up in masks. You know what we're going to do? We're not going to do Black Friday this year. Or maybe don't look for us at the curb. Look for us online like everything else this Black Friday. Look to shop online. I think if I was one of those retailers, I'd be making a point and not trying to encourage people to gather, to go shopping. But I'm probably not a good one to predict that stuff. We do crazy stuff.
Well, I have a little story to tell about a Black Friday.
Oh, sure, Chester. Go ahead.
And it has to do with, is no matter what you need, you might be surprised at what you can do. This time last year, I needed a new Lincoln door. And so I called Ford Motor Company to find out the cost of a new Lincoln door. And it was $1,000 plus shipping. But they said, if you'll call back on Black Friday, we have a special deal.
Oh, nice.
I called back on Black Friday, and I got the door for $400. I got a new grill for a major discount, all delivered free. So you just never know.
That's awesome, Chester. I think retailers are going to be trying to encourage us to stay online and not go stand in lines.
That's... I know that Echo, the Amazon Echo, is 30% off.
Oh, okay. Actually, this is interesting. If we're going to transition into some topics here, not the Echo. I'm sorry, it's not the Echo I was thinking of, but it was the Roku. Did you guys see that the Roku channel is now going to be available on Fire TV? So if you have an Amazon Fire Stick, you're going to be able to take advantage of a Roku account with a Roku channel. Those of you that are using Rokus are probably already familiar with this, but Roku's been providing news services and entertainment services, movies and TV services with their own advertising and their own... I personally don't have any experience with it. If any of you have any personal experience with it, let us know, because this channel, at least in the United States, is going to be available. And if you're curious, I've already tried it in Mexico. It doesn't work. So it may be available through a VPN down here, but the Mexican offering is not available on Fire Stick yet. Is anybody using Roku for TV services?
No, but I have a Roku story.
What do you got, Chester?
I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that my TCL Roku television went out.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in the 11th month since I had purchased it. Well, this week they delivered me a new TV. And it's not only that, but it's a better model and a later model. So they honored their warranty beautifully.
That's awesome. That's great. And that's like the best of both worlds, right?
I mean, yeah, and he got a phone call yesterday wanting to know if I was satisfied.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. And your TV is already getting the Roku channel. And I've got a note here that says there's 100,000 free movies and TV episodes available. There's 115 live TV channels available, all through this Roku channel that you have access to with a Roku account. So I'm curious to see how it works as a TV service on a different device. I imagine we'll see it show up on other devices than the Fire Stick, but it's going to be on Fire TV, which is an interesting collaboration of services available. You're buying your hardware and some of your services from Amazon and Amazon Prime, and then Roku's putting its channel there. Apple TV is available now on these different devices, so you could be looking for Apple TV at some point on that streaming device. It's just a different world we're getting into.
On my Roku device, that's how I access Prime, and I access the Disney channel and all that stuff because I don't have TV.
Because you don't have an Apple TV.
And I don't have a smart TV, period.
Yeah.
But see, we bought a TCL, and it says it's Roku. And I've been watching the Amazon Prime on a channel on the Roku. Right. And I can see the Roku channel. But we have our cable hooked up to it. But I don't think I really understand if I bought a Roku TV. I don't think I did.
I think it sounds like you did. It's one of these. It's TCL, right? It's TCL?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's a Roku TV.
That's the name of my TCL Roku TV. It's 65 inch. That's the one they just replaced.
And yeah, we bought our Costco, and it's a TCL. I guess it's a Roku, but is it a smart?
Yes. Yes, that's what the Roku innards are, is the smart portion of your TV set.
But we can't hook to a browser or anything. We can't hear to the internet.
Well, you can. You would hook it up wirelessly, and you'd be able to run apps like the Netflix app, the Hulu app. Well, maybe not Hulu. You're in Canada, but...
Well, okay, so we do run... I run Netflix on it, yes.
Yeah. Facebook.
Facebook? On a Roku?
Maybe.
I'll have to look into that, because what we do is I hook up my iPad. If I'm watching a Facebook Live concert or if we're talking FaceTime or anything, I run it through my iPad to the TV.
Sure. Sure. Well, I mean, that, yeah, definitely. But I think that
HDMI.
There is a Facebook app that is available at least in different smart TVs, and I imagine it would be available on the Roku, where when you're looking at your Facebook video, like a live or a watch party or something like that, there's an option to put it on your TV set because it sees...
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, and I can run my photo gallery up there and my... Yes, I can run things off of my iPhone.
So there's a similar experience with the Facebook video experience, where if you've got it as an app installed in your device, then you're able to take your other device and shoot it up over there.
Huh. Yeah, and the control, the remote control for the TV is on the iPhone, and I can actually, not with the cable, but with everything else, I can hit my headphone headphone feature, and it goes to my earphone, my hearing aids.
Wow. Ooh. I'm having all kinds of freezing up all of a sudden on my end. I don't know why, but I'm going to ignore it because I can hear you guys just fine. I'm going to try and ignore it. It's very difficult. Being a technical person, all I want to do is solve problems.
Would you repeat what you just said about your hearing aids?
It was kind of...
Yeah.
The Roku TV, I have an app installed on my iPhone. And so I go to it, and when I'm running the remote, there's a headphone little spot there. And if my hearing aids are connected by Bluetooth to the phone... the whatever's on the TV sound will come through into my hearing aids.
Oh, because you are streaming it to the TV, but you're streaming the audio through your hearing aids.
Yes.
Right. So I'm watching the TV, but and nobody else in the room can hear it except for me on my hearing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The Fire Stick will do the same thing. You can Bluetooth to the Fire Stick directly, and it'll send video to the TV set, but send audio to whatever Bluetooth device you have connected.
And can you connect more than one Bluetooth?
No.
Oh.
No. In fact, was it us that was talking about the Bluetooth options? Somebody sent me some Bluetooth options. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't us, Cheryl. I had another... customer, friend, you know, tech person asking me about hooking up two sets of headphones through Bluetooth. And that device actually exists. She had done some research and wanted my opinion on the things that she'd picked out. And both products had good reviews. And it was a way of splitting. They wanted to have a sound bar as well as the option for two Bluetooth headsets to be connected to their entertainment center at the same time.
And well, we can do it. Bill has his hearing aids, and he has the app on his, like, his remote. Mm-hmm. He can hear it, and I can hear it, and we can control our own volume.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that works, but you're saying if you're both connected to the same phone or two different phones?
Two different phones.
Are you using one TV, two different phones? How are you receiving the audio from the TV?
Through the headphone feature? I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, in this case, what she wanted was the ability to put it out to a sound bar so that everybody could listen to it, or right, put it out to headphones so only they would be listening to it. And traditionally, there has not been, at least in my market of TV sets, I have not come across one that would allow you to use two different Bluetooth devices at the same time.
Well, you know, and we haven't tried it. Bill just got a different pair of hearing aids, and he just reminded me that we haven't tried it with the new ones. But and he has an app, because in our household, I'm watching the TV and he's watching something else. So it doesn't matter. But
well, what I found interesting is that they had this Bluetooth transmitter intentionally designed to broadcast the two Bluetooth devices. So you could throw that into the mix, and that audio would be available and synced with two different sets of headphones.
Yeah, and with that, it's two different hearing problems. You know, if we just were going out of the TV, the volume set for one person is so totally different than the other. So that's why it's nice to have these ones that you can do it.
Well, then you'd appreciate one of these devices actually had separate audio for each channel. So you could raise up and raise and lower the volume on each separate channel. It was kind of cool. I expect that in the future we're going to have TV sets that broadcast Bluetooth, this multi-connectable Bluetooth, where you could have more than one set of out devices receiving the sound at the same time. I believe we'll see that in the future. But right now, we only have one out on the TV sets, or at least the ones I've come across.
Well, I use a splitter.
Yeah. Yeah, the splitter is actually what we end up using. What is it? An optical splitter.
Optical splitter, and the better ones have to have their own separate power.
Yes.
They do a nice amplification.
And so, Chester, that allows you to have like a sound bar installed alongside, I don't know, headphones, whatever else you might be broadcasting.
Yeah, you have a sound bar and all the number of headphones you want, depending on the splitter. But if the splitter is amplified, then that works out real nicely.
Yeah, that's a great solution. And the products she was looking at, it seems like they weren't more than $30. So if you're looking for something like that, that seemed very reasonably priced. And what I liked about her solution was it didn't matter what headsets you used. You could have $300 top-of-the-line Bluetooth headphones or a pair of $30 Bluetooth headphones, some Chinese knockoffs, because of the way that they had pieced it together. The headphones weren't dependent in the system.
I have a question for Cheryl.
See?
Go ahead. Hey,
you said, is that a TCL TV?
TCL Roku.
Okay, so don't you have the internet on there?
Yes, the Wi-Fi is connected to it.
No, don't you have Chrome on the television? You can go to the Chrome?
No.
It's a Roku.
So,
there's no internet browser for a Roku.
Can't you put it on separate?
No. The Roku is its own platform, and I've addressed this problem. There is a really crappy internet browser that you can pay a lot of money for to put on the Roku to be unsatisfied with the experience, I don't recommend it at all. There's actually, if I remember right, there's two different browsers. One's for free. It's horrible. And the other one you pay for, and it's not much better.
The way
you put a browser on a Roku TV is you buy a Fire Stick. Or you plug a computer into it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Roku just is not a platform for internet browsing. It's a closed app environment with apps that are built for Roku. And they're a completely different thing than what's built for your Apple TV or what's built for your Android TV.
You can plug in a Fire Stick and then put Chrome on the Fire Stick.
That's right. Or you could use the Amazon browser. That Silk browser is really good. I actually think it's based on the Chrome engine. Or you could put Firefox on it too. What's that, Bill?
If we were to put a Fire Stick on, could you download Streamio onto that?
Yes. That's one of my preferred ways to do it, because then you put Streamio in a remote control.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's... So Roku is going to be the Roku channel, because Roku's changing into a streaming service, a provider of content. So the idea that their channel is going to be available on competing hardware, I find very, very interesting. And I can't wait till it works in Mexico, because they've got Mexican Roku. If you're dealing with Rokai. If you're dealing with Rokai in your life, and you're doing it in a Mexican-American sort of way, I typically recommend that if you're going to be taking advantage of something like DNS proxy, a smart DNS proxy, or a VPN down here, I typically recommend that you deal with your Roku in your home and bring it to Mexico. Getting a Roku set up down here is a little cumbersome, because they have Mexican service. And so if you set it up down here without a VPN, then you're going to be setting up for a Mexican VPN or a Mexican Roku account. You'll be getting Mexican service. And you might, maybe that's what you want, but you won't have the option if you've left your home area without already having set it up. You'll have to do it with a VPN. You'll have to find somebody or set up a VPN so that you can set up your... Yes.
So I have a little Roku device.
Mm-hmm. Like one of the streaming sticks?
Yeah. Can I put Streamio on that up here?
No.
Okay.
No, it's the same thing as... I'm sorry?
It's only on a Fire Stick?
Streamio is a Macintosh application, Windows Mac application, and an Android application. It is not a Roku application. It's not an Apple TV application.
Okay.
In fact, the iOS version of Streamio is undesirable at the moment, because you can only use official plugins, and the official plugins point you to pay for service through the service providers. And that's really not what's made Streamio so effective is its community of plugins. And that's just not available on your iPhone. It's not available on your iPad. It's not available on your Apple TV. So it's Android, it's Windows, and it's Mac OS that you can run Streamio to do the things you want to do.
Scott?
Yes, sir.
I have an Amazon Fire tablet, and I went through a process and downloaded some kind of... I went through a process and wound up with Chrome on my Fire, on the Amazon Fire.
Yes.
And could then access Google Play, I believe, apps. Can you do that on the Fire Stick?
Yes. Yes, it's exactly the same process. Actually, they're very similar devices when you get at that level, when you're talking about software and what's inside them. And on the Amazon devices, all you have to do is say you want to install from an alternate app store. And so what you're doing is you're loosening the security. And, I mean, it's weird to say it like that because Android is an open platform, very similar to Windows. It's not tightened down. They say that it's more secure because it's linked to one app store, and that one app store is responsible for providing and vetting what you put in that device. So by allowing applications to come in from a different app store, from their perspective, you've loosened your security. But that's one of the advantages as well of owning an Android device is this: you're not locked into your vendor's app store. You buy a Fire Stick, you're not locked into getting software from Amazon. You can just say, I want to get software from somewhere else, and then you install that other app store. Or you can just like a Windows computer, you can go to a website and download the app that you need. You can't do that on an Apple TV or an Apple device, and you can't do that on a Roku device. What else have I got for you guys? We're talking Apple a number of times here. There is some new news on Apple's latest release, the iOS 14. Did you guys see this, that there's going to be a spying light that's going to appear on your device to let you know if an app is using your microphone or camera? I found this interesting. I'm just.
I didn't see that.
You saw that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, this is they announced this, and I am just passing this on as knowledge for you to have as you go forward, as you have iOS 14. There's a green light that will appear in the upper right-hand corner near the battery indicator, and that will tell you when the camera is activated. And there's an orange light that will appear in the same spot to let you know if the microphone's been activated. Now, I've written my own notes here. I'm afraid I'm reading from my own notes. And I imagine...
There's an orange light that's on... up by the battery, and there's also now a green light.
So there's two of them.
I'm on this. Yeah.
Great.
The orange light is gone unless I have my
microphone unmuted. You're muted and your camera's off. Did they both go away? This is great. This is real-time testing of this.
It's the orange light stays on when the microphone is on. The orange light is off when I have the video and the microphone on.
That's what I was thinking, is that they were in the same location. And if you have the video on and the microphone on, it's a green light. And if you turn off the video, it turns into an orange light.
That is correct.
And so this is kind of neat because right now Judy is expecting this kind of behavior. But if you were just walking down the street and you pulled out your phone to look at your Facebook and you saw an orange light or a green light, you would instantly know one of your apps is using your microphone or your camera.
But what's really weird, if I have them both muted, so to speak, video off and microphone off.
Yes.
Hold on.
There's no light, I would imagine.
No, the orange light is still on.
If you mute your microphone and the video, the orange light is still on?
That is correct.
Well, that's odd.
Isn't it?
That is odd, and you might want to play around with your device when we're done with our meeting. You might have another app that's using your microphone. That's the orange light, right? Yeah. The green light is video. The orange light is audio. Well, and here's the other thing that you'll appreciate, Judy, is that in the control center. This is a quote from Apple. It says, an indicator will appear at the top of your screen whenever an app is using your microphone or camera. In the control center, you can see if an app has used them recently. So they've changed the logging in the control center so that you can, when you see that light and it's suspicious, you can immediately go into the control center and see the history of applications that have used those devices. I'll put a link to this on today's meeting so that you can read further on this. I just thought this was an interesting place to be. Apple is selling privacy. That's one of the features of buying Apple devices, and this is their latest feature to add to their devices.
But Scott, did you say 14 or later?
Yeah, OS iOS 14 or later. The latest updates have this.
And I'm wondering if that isn't Siri that stays on.
Oh, it could be. I don't know. It doesn't say in the app.
No, and I just went to the control center and didn't see anything.
So it may be, I'll put the link on the website so you can read Great. Through it. It may be it's 14.0.1, or it might be the 14 that's just about to come out. I think I've mentioned before, I don't have any recent Apple devices in my hands, so this is all theoretical.
Well, I'm still on 13.5.1.
Well, you're not going to get it then.
I'm at 14.0.1.
I'm waiting for you guys to tell me to upload it.
I did it. I didn't have any knock on wood problems.
It's your phone, right, Cheryl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my iPad, I can't update it. It's 12 something and it's not going any further.
If it's your phone and it gives you concern, you might just wait till you're down here to upgrade it just because you know you can run it over to me if there's some crazy problem.
Yeah.
I mean,
three things with that. One, I'm really hoping to be there.
Yeah.
You also were talking about if you bring your TV down. One of the options for getting to San Carlos might be for us to fly. Now, we usually drive, and we usually have a vehicle very, 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 very full. So, with like three laptops and iPads and fire tablets. And yeah, so it'll be very, very interesting if we can go. We've been asking everybody for recommendations for renting cars and all kinds of things. So,
okay, well, I hope that all goes well for you. So are you saying that flying is the way you're going to do it, or it's just on the table right now?
Options.
Okay. What else do I have for you guys? Or is there other, would people like to contribute? Is there anything you guys would like to contribute to this discussion? I do have more topics here.
Go for it.
All right. Okay, here's a quick one. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out since we're on an Apple theme. I just read yesterday that Apple is making their stores, their retail stores in the U.S. and Canada, part of the logistics of shipping out product to people. Because of COVID, their stores aren't getting as much traffic as they have in the past, and they're turning them into shipping centers for your local areas. They imagine that they're going to be able to get product out to their customers a whole lot quicker.
My experience with Apple up here, I went over to make an appointment to have a new glass put on my phone because I cracked it.
Yes.
And they told me it wasn't essential and they couldn't do it. Wouldn't even make an appointment.
I bet they could sell you a new phone without a problem.
Yeah, oh yeah, you can buy a new phone, you can buy an iPad, you can buy whatever you want, as long as, but no glass. So I had to go to Best Buy.
Really?
Yeah,
do you have Apple Care on that device, or is it?
I do till the end of this month.
That's a horrible story, Maggie.
Yes, it is. Well, what happened up here from what I read online, they reopened in May, maybe, or I don't know when. And within 2 weeks, everybody that worked there was sick. So they closed it down, and then they reopened in August by appointment only, and it has to be an essential.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not as bad as, I mean, that actually sounds like there's some real local thinking that's going on in that respect. Like, you wouldn't expect that experience from every Apple store. That's your Apple store that's happening at. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, or at least I would hope that would be the case. I thought this was interesting because they really are getting into logistics with this. By making this move, they're going to be taking that last mile away, or at least they'll be doing all that thinking, whereas before it would have been a shipper that was doing that kind of thinking. It would have been a UPS or a DHL that would be figuring out how to get it to your curb. Now they may be using those services, but they're doing it in the last mile, not all the way from China.
My friend that ordered the new iPad a couple of weeks ago just got a notice that she will not get it. It won't ship out until the end of October, 1st of November.
Oh,
and they won't do anything.
I'm afraid we're kind of seeing that everywhere. I've been shopping for, don't tell my daughter, but her birthday's coming up, and she's got a phone that's 4 years old, and so I've been shopping for a new phone for her. And it's been, for the feature set and the price, my budget, it's been very difficult to narrow down on something. And I keep forgetting I've got to think about availability as well. When I finally do pick something out, that's part of the equation. Can it actually be gotten?
Mm-hmm. That's also true with printers up here. You cannot buy, there, no place has a Canon printer in stock, the cheaper ones.
Oh, okay. Like the $50 printers?
You can buy a $200 printer, but you can't buy a $40 printer.
Well, this about Apple, I just thought was interesting. They've got around 300 stores between the U.S. and Canada, and they will be doing local deliveries from their stores to like a 100-mile radius around them. So if you are close to an Apple store, there's a good chance anything you might buy from Apple will get to you quicker than it has in the past. I'm curious if they're going to become a tech online retailer. They got to use these.
So Scott,
yes.
When is that going into effect?
Let me see here. I may have to pull up the article to see when it's starting. It's already happening at some stores, and I think the news is they're turning it on for the others. Shifting how it ships devices to consumers. Let's see, do the stores. No, it just says that they're going to do it, that they've been doing it, and now they're going to be doing it at all their stores. They started doing this earlier this year at some of their bigger stores, coming out just ahead of... You know what? It's happening this next week, because they're saying they're going to turn it on right before this iPhone launch that's happening next week. So they're going to be announcing the iPhone 12 this next week. I mean, they haven't said any of that, but we know that's all happening. And this is news from Apple that they are going to be doing this before the announcement. So it's Apple's announcement that this is happening, and it's Apple's announcement that they're having an announcement. But it's all still assumption. It's an announcement for the iPhone 12, but we're assuming that's what it's for.
And they have some really good online deals for the iPhone SE 2020 or whatever it was called.
Oh, that's right. If you've ever wanted to get into a cheap iPhone, now's the time to do it. They've never been cheaper. It seems like it's $349 for that SE.
I think that Verizon was offering it to a friend of mine for like $150 or $160.
Oh, that's worth looking at.
That was through Verizon, though. She was on with Verizon on the phone.
So, Scott.
Yes, Linda.
Well, why don't you look at the Poco phone for your daughter? I don't know what you want to spend.
What do you call it?
The Poco phone.
Poco phone.
The F2 is the new
F2 one. Pro. I see it here. My budget is right around $200, but I'll go up as far as $225.
Oh, no. These are more money than that.
Yeah.
But they have 128 megabytes in them.
Oh, that's nice. You know, the ones I've been looking at are the Xiaomi. The
well, that's what this is.
Oh, well, I've been looking at the Redmi.
Yeah.
The 9S and the 8. And one of the things that have made me disappointed in them is that they have only a waterproof. I watched somebody dump the 8, the Redmi 8, in water. And watched it fizzle out in seconds.
Oh.
And the 9S, I watched it get dunked in water, get pulled back out of water after a couple of minutes, continue to work. I'm like, that may be the phone. And then I read a blogger talking about how they accidentally dropped it and cracked the screen immediately. So both those phones seem fragile. Now, my daughter's turning 15. So I mean, and she's my daughter, so I expect her to be careful with her devices, but I don't know if I want her to have to be that careful.
Well, just remember, you got to get the 5G.
Why do I have to get the 5G? This is a great discussion. Why do I have to get the 5G, especially if I'm looking at a $200 phone?
Well, okay, all I know is, like, from AT&T.
Right, in the States.
They're going to require the 5G.
Yeah, well, they keep saying that, but they've got such a 4G infrastructure, it's hard to imagine that they're going to shut everybody's phone off. I mean, they are saying that we're moving to 5G, and you're going to have to use these new phones to take advantage of it, but they've got some really kind of wishy-washy language. I can't imagine they're going to shut off all their customers that don't buy 5G phones.
Yeah, I don't know. They just said they were going to 5G, like in February or something.
Yeah, I think that's intentionally vague, Linda. I think
to make you buy a new phone.
I think they want you to feel panicked to buy a new phone, but they would be dumping millions of customers. They would.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, they're asking every one of their customers to get an up-to-date phone. I just don't see that happening. What they would, if that was the case, can you imagine? They would be pushing everybody to T-Mobile. They'd be asking their customers go well, and they would have a lot of hate too.
But that's the same with DirecTV.
Well, yeah, but it's not the. I mean, it's exactly the same with DirecTV. Nobody's been pushed anywhere with DirecTV. They have held.
Up here, they're pushing really hard for the new boxes. And like I said earlier, I don't have a smart TV, so the new boxes don't work on my TV.
Well, I'm not certain why a smart TV would play into that. But what they have done is they've made the old boxes continue to work. For those circumstances, but what they're trying to sell you is the new boxes. They want you to get into the new stuff, but under certain circumstances, the new boxes don't work, and so they still have the old boxes available. DirecTV would like to switch you over to streaming. They'd like you to pay for DirecTV and them not be responsible for your hardware. But there's enough people out there that aren't ready to do those kinds of activities that they still have boxes in the first place.
DirecTV is AT&T.
That's right.
AT&T is DirecTV.
So all these things that they have put out over the last couple of years have all been about socially engineering you into this fear state, this panicked state, so you go out and upgrade your equipment. And there's a percentage. This is the sickest thing about this industry right now, is that there are people on their board, there are people that are scientists, social scientists, that know exactly what percentage of people are going to be triggered by those kinds of statements, and they're going to immediately update their equipment so that they don't have to worry. They'll get this relief from being in line with what's going on. And it's not a high percentage. It's just the percentage they can bank on. And the rest of these people are going to wait till the last minute, and their last minute's going to come and go, and those services are still going to be available, and DirecTV's going to have to, because plot clause while they're pushing out, you know, if you got the new equipment, then we're ready to sell you this service, and you're going to have this battle between what did that cost versus what you're paying right now. Is it worth buying a 5G now because they're offering this service at a cheaper price? It's going to be, nothing is absolute in this world that we're living in. I think about I'm sorry, Linda, go ahead. I was going to give another example of how this works because we dealt with it at the bed and breakfast. We've dealt with it for years now. They've been trying to push us into these new boxes that the cable provider has. These new boxes provide TiVo. They provide this umbilical kind of experience where you have one main unit and you're doing your video on demand. You're doing video on demand with that unit. You're clicking and you're asking for shows to be stored for you, and then they're available on all these other boxes. And we didn't need that for the bed and breakfast. And instead of going, we don't need that, we just went to them saying, this is what we need. And because that's what we need, they had to give us these old boxes. Because that's the only way they can provide what we need. And even though every step of the way they're like trying to sell us into these new boxes, they still have these old boxes available because there are needs that have to be met. Anyway, Linda, I don't think AT&T is going to reach a point anytime soon where your 4G phone is going to stop working. What is going to stop working without a doubt is your old 2G phone and possibly your old 3G phone. But your 4G phone's going to definitely be working for some time.
Right. Yeah. Okay, my other point was somebody just came down here with their DirecTV boxes this week, and they don't work.
And they don't work. That's frustrating.
Oh, right. Bummer.
Do you know why they don't work?
The antenna.
It's the antenna, isn't it?
Right.
Bummer.
It's because DirecTV is discontinuing the standard broadcast.
Right.
And so, in order to, in the particular location of San Carlos, you have to have the large Hawaii or Alaska dish in order to pick up the signals that are coming from the new satellites.
Right. Now, there is a place over in Guadalajara that they had those Alaska dishes, because I know somebody who bought one from them here. And they sent it over here from, who was it?
Yeah, they're for sale in Tucson as well.
Right, but you got to bring them down.
Yeah, I got to bring them down. No big deal.
So apparently, Chava was bringing them down. I don't know what's happened with him, because he probably can't go over there and get them now. And he was having to pay duty on them, so I don't know where he's getting them now.
But he was actually charging quite a bit for them last year. Yeah.
Right, he was.
$1,600 or $1,700 is what.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you could do it yourself. I don't know, for $800 or $900. But if you want DirecTV, ultimately you're going to have to go to that, and then get yourself the Genie and the Mini, and then you set up.
Right, right, for the HDTV and the recording shows. Yeah, the time slipping stuff, the TiVo style stuff.
Yeah, five at one time, and that's handy for football. I like it.
It's not handy though for having a box in another country. Because those are all tied together. That Genie and those Minis are all tied together.
Right.
Well, you can move them, and you can move them between a place in the States or between your motorhome and your San Carlos home. So they're movable, and that's what I did for years.
Well, you could take a Mini box somewhere else? I don't think so, Chester. I think it's dependent on the main box.
I do that now. I take the genie and the mini.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you have to do is you have to bring the main box with you and as many minis as you need.
Yeah, the mini relies on the genie.
Yeah. So like in the past, what people would do is they get together on a DirecTV account and they'd have those standard boxes.
And, no, I can't do that.
Yeah, and you can't leave one in one country and take one to the other country.
No.
What else do we got for topics here? I've got one here for our Canadian people. Did you know your Netflix subscriptions are going up by a dollar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we just saw that.
You know, this actually I find really interesting because, and this ties into my Amazon shopping across borders. I looked at this article and I'm like, wait a second. So they're paying $13.99 in Canada for a standard HD account. It's going to be raised to $14.99. That's the Canadian dollar. I'm not sure what the dollar is right now against the U.S. dollar, the Canadian dollar versus the U.S. dollar. Say again?
3 cents to the dollar.
About
3 cents to the dollar.
So I looked up... I looked up the U.S. price for Netflix, and it is for the standard for the same thing. It's $12.99 a month, U.S. dollars. So is that close to $14.99 Canadian?
No, $12.99 U.S. would be closer to $16 or $17.
So that's what I was thinking. The U.S. account is more expensive, and I think it's more expensive of the three when we bring Mexico into it. And I didn't look at the Mexican price. I actually went down this real rabbit hole. There's a great article that compares all the different countries and their Netflix subscriptions and the value of their Netflix. Well, who has the cheapest Netflix and who has the most valuable Netflix? And it's based on your that monthly price, but it's also based on their regional catalog. So you have a catalog that's available to you in Canada, and that includes a certain number of titles that are considered available for Canada. Those are movies and TV shows. And they rate, you'll want to look at this article. It's just fascinating. There's a lot of just charts. Somebody spent a lot of time going through this data. But they rate things based on how many titles are available in a particular country and how much somebody's paying for that in that particular country. And they also do it by IMDb rating. So they look at the inventory of content in a country and they average the IMDb ratings for those titles and determines whether it's worth paying for. If Canada, Mexico, the U.S., whatever country you're looking at, has a higher percentage of higher rated content, if that makes sense. Like who's got the most 5-star movie reviews? In a nutshell, that's what we're looking at is does Canada have more 5-star movies than Mexico does? And only by a small percentage. This data proves what I've thought for a while is that there is a higher percentage of higher quality content in the Mexican catalog than there is in the U.S. catalog. It's a higher amount by 0.09%. So that's not, it's anecdotal, but I found it fascinating to look across all these countries and look at what all these countries pay for Netflix and how that payment compares as far as the available local content and how that compares with the IMDb rating of that available local content. I think, and I started to relate this to Amazon shopping because I very much think it's the same deal. I think that in this day and age, when we're people that cross borders like we do, an account like Netflix, you have to look at what you're paying monthly and compare it to an account in a different country. You may be getting because Netflix is available. If you have a Mexican Netflix account, it's available in Canada. It's available in the U.S. marketplace, and you're subject to the U.S. catalog while you're in the United States. And people have told me before that the Mexican Netflix account is cheaper than the U.S. account. So if it's available in these other countries, why wouldn't you buy your Netflix account in the country that has the best price? Did somebody have a question there?
Well, I had a comment that through the magic of VPNs, you can be in any country you want when you're doing Netflix.
Well, and that...
I can watch U.S. Netflix anytime I want and see their catalog.
That's exactly my point, is that in the world of VPNs, I'm sorry, I'm hearing myself come back off of somebody's microphone. But in the world of VPNs, then you can quite literally be considering buying your Netflix account in any country, quite possibly the cheapest country, using an article like this to determine which one costs the least amount of money. You could hook up a VPN to that country, set up an account in that country, and then use that account's country. I mean, it kind of reminds me of license plates for cars that are just here in San Carlos. They're all from South Dakota or wherever that state is that you get the cheapest registration from. You could be looking across the globe for the cheapest Netflix account, because you can use Netflix in all these different countries wherever you might sign up for it. Now, I bring this back to Amazon, and this is a bigger discussion. We were talking about Amazon Prime Day. Do you know that you're actually, if you're looking for the best Amazon Prime Day deal, you might be searching in three different stores or more, because your Amazon account is going to allow you to shop in any of those stores. And this has been something over the last couple of weeks, I've been just doing all this research, comparing different products. And all I've learned is it gets very complex if you're looking for the best price. If you're sitting in a place wanting to shop Amazon, and you have access to the Mexican store, you have access to the Canadian store, you have access to the U.S. store, I find you're going to be looking for that same product in all three stores. Because if you're a Prime member in Canada, there's a whole slew of things that satisfy global international shipping now. And so you may be looking in the Mexican store and see something's importable from the U.S., and that price is more expensive than getting it from the Canadian store imported to Mexico, or the U.S. store imported to Mexico. Which Prime should you be a member of becomes a question. What other Prime services are you using? If you want, we get a large catalog of Prime movies because we're Mexican Prime members. If we're U.S. Prime members, we may have access to buying products that are using international shipping, but we don't have access to that catalog of movies because we're not Mexican Prime members. We only have the small handful of watch while you're abroad. So there's a lot of things in this Prime decision now that we hadn't considered before. I've found myself, as we're going into the holidays, I've got birthdays coming up and Christmas will be coming up. I find myself shopping in the U.S. store, the Canadian store, and comparing to the Mexican store what these prices are, how shipping's going to work, how conscientious I'm going to be about if I need to send something back. I'm left with more questions than answers, but I think if you're an online shipper, if you're like me, you've got a Mexican Prime account and a U.S. account, or you've got a Mexican account and you've got a Canadian account, I think you're going to be looking at, do I buy it through the Canadian store and send it to Mexico? Do I buy it from the U.S. store and send it to Mexico? Or do I buy it in the Mexican store and have it sent from the the U.S. account. In the last week, I found the exact same product in both the Mexican store and the U.S. store, and it was cheaper in Mexico. But I found what I needed to purchase just happened to be cheaper. I found a dozen products that were the exact same product in all three stores, and there was no rhyme or reason to which one was cheaper to get sent to Mexico. There was a hard drive I was following. Exact same product, imported to Mexico from the U.S. store, cheaper in the U.S. to buy in the U.S. store than to buy in the Mexican store, sent to Mexico. Even though I have Amazon Prime in Mexico, I found a product that said free shipping with international shipping, and the price it gave me was to the penny the exact same price as buying it in the U.S. store, but did not qualify for international shipping. So there was a shipping price associated with it to the exact penny. That was the same price I was paying in Mexico to have it sent with free international shipping. It's a lot to think about if you're looking for if you're getting into the nuances of where you're saving on shipping. And you're one of these international people like we are, crossing borders. I just throw that out there. It's something I've been dealing with in the last few weeks. I've been becoming much more aware of, and you guys should be aware of as well, because when you're crossing the borders the way we do, there are opportunities to save money, but it's pretty... You know where I think it's going to really show up? It's going to show up in the Amazon basics. They're going to be shaking out the nuances of the products you're searching for and the prices you want to pay and where you want to have these products delivered. And I'm betting that there's going to be Amazon basic products that are only available in the United States because those are the products that people in the United States store are searching for and shopping for. And they won't be available in the Mexican store. The Mexican basic products will be a completely different beast because of the culture, because of what people are searching for, what people want to buy. So they're going to stock and provide those products in Amazon warehouses based on Mexican shopping. And I suspect Canada will be the same thing. The ingredients for poutine will be... will be available in the Amazon Canadian warehouses at a much cheaper price than the Mexican warehouses, if available.
Well, our second purchase, like our first purchase we told you about with the handkerchiefs, well, our second purchase was spark plug wires for an antique car that we have inherited from my father that we are trying to sell. In order to sell it, we need to get it running. So... non-mechanics, but we're working. Bill's learning lots, and we're trying to start the old Dodge Aspen and get it sold.
Well, I find that as somebody that's shopping for discounted rates, this has become very confusing.
Yeah, we're looking for furnace filters, and we're waiting to see, like, we've got a huge list, and we have one account, but it seems like we have credit on the American side and our credit card hooked up to the Canadian side. So we can shop on both. And we'll have to check and see what happens on Amazon Prime Day as to which we can do, because shipping has been the concern and customs.
And customs. That thing is the part that drives me crazy about getting something imported from the United States, is just having to deal with getting it back. Because that just throws a wrench into everything. Are you going to have to cover something? Is it going to make its way back? I feel like I've had customs go through boxes and parts haven't showed up before. And they want to send it back. What happens if it gets lost in customs getting back? So here's this product you pay. I don't mind if it's a $50 product, but what if I paid $300 for something and it never makes it back to the United States?
Well, the one case for us with shipping and everything was when we had our car broken into in Vegas and we were on our way to San Carlos. They stole some of my medication that my Canadian doctor could send to me, but the United States Customs would not allow me to accept it. They would confiscate it and it would not be returned and it wouldn't go anywhere. They would keep it. So then I looked at maybe having it shipped to Mexico, and that was going to be better. But in the end, it turned out that it was available and I bought it out straight out in Mexico. So, but all of the different things, because yeah, you can ship it and yes, it'll ship for free, but
it's not going to get to you.
Yeah. Customs will take it and you will never see it.
And so, that's yes, Bill, go ahead.
This morning I ran across the site on CBC, actually, Canadian, and it was about returning the product to Amazon, and they put tracking devices in a bunch of products and then tracked where they went, and a significant portion of them went to the dump.
No.
Absolutely. I'll send it to you, or I'll post it for you.
Yes, please do. That's an amazing story.
There's basically brand new stuff, nothing wrong with it, like truck trailer loads of it going to the dump where they destroy it rather than go through the process of getting it back and restocking or doing anything with it.
Wow.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah. You know what that reminded me, just recently, and I have no real information in this, but I just recently read a headlines on plastic recycling. And there's been this whole study that's found that some ridiculous, 80% of recycling just ends up in the dump. And
yes,
the same kind of deal that, and this article actually wasn't about the recycling. It was about using recycling for marketing and how, as the numbers have shaken out, as they've studied the data, that the whole environmental recycling movement has been pushed more by corporations to sell more plastic because it's about making the consumer feel more comfortable about buying plastic. And so these organizations, these companies that sell plastic goods have really invested in the marketing of recycling so that people feel comfortable buying more plastic goods. And so the use of plastic has just gone up, and what we're discovering is that plastic's not being recycled in the first place. If I find that article, I'll add it as well, or we'll bring it up again. I was just reading about it, and this thing with that you're saying, I'd like to read that about Amazon specifically. I know that one of the things that they've done in the past is they'll build pallets of stuff that has been returned, and they'll sell off those pallets, kind of like a storage locker that's been broken open. You don't know what you're buying. You're just buying a pallet of stuff that Amazon doesn't want to deal with. The idea of them just dumping it in a dump, though, that's crazy. But that's the world we're living in now, I guess. Hey, we have reached the end of our hour and almost 40 minutes. So we've had a long meeting. And I think that even though I'm having fun, we should probably reach a conclusion. This is your opportunity to share any last-minute things you feel like we all need to know or comments you'd like to make.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, from the Canadians. It's our Thanksgiving Day, and we have a turkey to stuff.
Oh, excellent. Happy Thanksgiving to the Canadians. That's awesome. Is there any other mentions out there? Hey, Fred, if you're saying something, you're so quiet, we can't hear you.
Happy Indigenous Americans Day.
Thank you, Paul. Fred, I'm afraid you're like a muted movie. We see that you're not muted, but we can't hear anything. You have a green light on. But we can barely hear you. Do you happen to be plugged into another device? Maybe a Bluetooth device that's across the room? Nope. There's something going on with your mic. It's really quiet. It's Kathleen, did you have something you wanted to say?
No, just another good meeting. Thank you so much.
Oh, we sure enjoy having you join us.
I love it.
Well, I'm just going to say goodbye. This is Scott Stimson, International Computer Solutions. And if you have computer issues out there on the internet, I'd like you to get a hold of me. You can reach me through email, scott@internationalcs.net. And if you've enjoyed our computer club, you are welcome to join us any morning. Look at our blog for details on how to get connected, sccclub.org, where I make a blog post about each one of these meetings by date, and I include links to the things that we've been talking about. I also will occasionally post news that I find fascinating. So check out our blog at sccclub.org. We're also on YouTube. We're also as a podcast. And hey, if you haven't been paying attention, for the last several weeks, my daughter and I make an intro to the podcast. So if you want to hear us screwing around, I think the last two episodes we were making desserts in the kitchen when we recorded them. We've got the oatmeal cookie intro, and then we made a mango crumble in the last intro. And it's just the first 2 minutes of the podcast, but that's the only place you can hear it. You have to go to the podcast, and you can get there from our blog, or you can listen to that. Just go to wherever podcasts are, like, for example, iTunes. Search for the San Carlos Computer Club, and you'll find recordings of these meetings as audio. Thanks for joining us today, and until next week, everybody have a good time and tech on.
Scott, just hang on a minute.
Oh, yes.
I found that link. I'm trying to, where do I send it to you? How do I send this thing?
Well, you know, since we're right here, you could send it in the chat. If you look, there's a chat bubble. And
where's the chat? I'm missing. No.
Here, I'm going to.
Oh, there it is. Got it. Hang on.
I tried to spell test and I spelled twat.
Careful how you say that.
Yeah. Twat. That's what I spelled. Twat. So you could pop it in that chat, or you could send it to me through email. Let's we won't end this message just yet.
Well, I'm in the chat thing. How do I get this thing to chat?
Just paste it into that send message to everyone. And if not, just send it to me through email. You could reply to the message that I send out every Saturday morning.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. And that's also a good reminder. If any of you have people that are interested in our group, give me their email address. I'll put them on the email list or tell them to check out the... I do a Facebook post, I do a blog post, and I do an email every morning with details with how to... or every Saturday morning with details on how to get connected to us. Hey, you got it, Bill. There it is.
I got it.
Excellent.
I eventually got it. Okay.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Bill. Until next Saturday, tech on. Adios. Adios, Kathleen. Bye-bye.